Programming sponsored by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Over 100% financing on auto loans. Where you bank does matter.
The Illinois governor elected in the fall promised to make the state the most progressive in the nation on abortion law. He and fellow Democrats who wield the most clout in the state house fulfilled that promise today. What next? I'm Sheila Logminas. Time for a closer look.
General Assembly is expected to vote today on a controversial abortion rights bill.
The measure would remove restrictions on abortion later in a pregnancy by repealing the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. It would also remove restrictions on spousal consent, waiting periods, and criminal penalties for doctors who perform abortions. House committee approved the measure last night. Opponents of the bill say it needs more discussion. The Catholic Conference of Illinois put out a statement saying, quote, the fundamental premise of the bill is flawed and no amendment or tweak to the language will change the fact that it is designed to rob the vulnerable life in the womb of any trace of human dignity and value. Mayor Lori Lightfoot also released a statement saying, quote, with the onslaught of attacks against reproductive rights happening all across the country, we must act to double down on protections here in Illinois. The time is now to ensure that we preserve access to safe legal abortion in our state. We won't go backwards.
A closer look with Sheila Logminas
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logminas. We are under fire here in the state of Illinois. A lot of you are in your states across the country. California, I know, through you up in Maine on different bills, different laws, different ends of life, both ends of life, the beginning and the natural end. You're under fire in Maine, among other states. We in Illinois knew this day was coming, but we did not know how the outcome would turn out to be. We knew over the weekend, maybe there, a lot of the media didn't know, but we sure knew that what was going on over the weekend. And pro-life people in the state of Illinois kept everyone else up to date on what was happening on Memorial Day weekend when those in charge of the state house called the members together on Sunday before Memorial Day to be there and rush this through, if possible, by changing some of the language. Well, you'll hear more about how it happened, but then keeping them over through Memorial Day to get this thing voted on and get it passed. Even when they started to lose a couple of the Democrats on the bill, they had to get to the number 60, ended up getting to that, called it to a vote this afternoon. So many people were praying. So many of you, I joined you. We were praying that this would not come to this, but it did. Joining me now to tell us what this is former Illinois State Representative and special counsel for the Thomas More Law Society, Peter Breen. Peter, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here. What a day.
I'm glad to be here, Sheila. And yes, this is it's a pretty dark day. It's not just for Illinois, but really for the whole country, because having such a large state in the middle of the country moving this way where you could legalize third trimester abortions up to the moment of birth with really no limit, it will become a magnet. And in fact, during the floor debate in the House today, they even alluded to the fact they want women from other states to come to Illinois to abort their babies. So this is a really sad day for the whole country.
It is. You know, when you say that, they really want it to be a mecca. I heard you say that, Peter. Some people may not have. There's something in the audio right now. You know how it is. It's probably the enemy, right? He doesn't want you to be heard. So we're going to reset your audio. And in the meantime, I'm going to share with listeners that one of our great state bishops, Bishop Thomas Papraki, put out. He was one of the many bishops in the state of Illinois, or all of the bishops in the state of Illinois, that ahead of this vote had already put out a statement on the push for this terribly misnamed Reproductive Health Act. Excuse me. And I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short time out so we can get this audio set. And you need to hear about this, because whether you're in the state of Illinois or not, this involves you. We didn't think it was coming to our state, or at least this soon. A lot of you didn't know this was coming to your states, and it did. So here we are today, and we're going to talk with Peter Breen, who was a state representative, and in fact is not today, because of a very nasty, ugly campaign last midterm elections by the woman who replaced him, and the campaign ads were based on lies. I would look at the screen and just say, that's false. That's a lie. So when you know your representatives well and know them personally and well for their voting record and what they've done over their career, over their profession of serving, you know what you're listening to is a lie. And that's exactly what we did. What happened here, we tried very hard to get around the lies, let people know, voters know, that they were lies. And yet a couple of the state representatives, several actually, one in the state and a couple at the federal level did get replaced because of smear campaigns, lies about what they stood for and who they were, basically at core. And Peter Breen was one of them. And he was our best in the state, I believe. I mean, it's just my personal belief, state representative in the state of Illinois. Well, he is a senior counsel for Thomas More Law Society. And fortunately, in that capacity, he's doing a lot of great good. He's defending David DeLeiden. Surely you know him of the undercover video fame. And he just had a recent setback. There's so much to talk with Peter about, and we'll get more into that. But I want you to know also that when Bishop Aprocki was one of the state of Illinois bishops who signed this statement urging lawmakers in Illinois not to pass this, again, terribly misnamed Reproductive Health Act, no reproduction, no health going on here. They issued that. They did it anyway downstate. And Bishop Aprocki came out today saying, I condemn the gravely immoral action of the Illinois House of Representatives in passing this bill, labeled with that highly misleading title as the Reproductive Health Act. Bishop Aprocki, I want you to know, is going to be on this program. It would be today if it weren't for confirmations. And good for him that he's at a confirmation, and he will be tomorrow as well. But he will be on the program in 2 days. He's eager to talk about this here on this program, and he wants to talk about the so-called Reproductive Health Act. You in New York know this. That's what these bills are named, because all of this is about smoke and mirrors. It has been since Roe v. Wade. It's all been about euphemisms. It's all been about what the California Journal of Medicine said in an editorial in, I believe, 1970. I've got that in my book, Non-Negotiable, Essential Principles of a Just Society and Humane Culture. What they said in that California Journal of Medicine, the doctors who wrote this editorial, said in 70, before Roe v. Wade, that what is going to be necessary to convince enough Americans who are so grounded in the Judeo-Christian principles and ethics of this nation to convince them that we're going to need to do rationing in the future. And they talked about the different types of rationing, and they meant also ending lives prematurely or ending lives and prematurely in the womb or at the end of life. That's all they could foresee coming about in the decades to come. They said it's going to take considerable semantic gymnastics. And they use that term. Ever since then, we know the semantics. We know the euphemisms. We know the language engineering. And to call these acts reproductive health acts is grossly not only misnamed, it's sinister. It's just sinister. So now what can we do? We've got plenty of people saying, okay, roll up your sleeves. We've already been after hearts and minds. Yes, we have. And we're going to stay that. So we're going to continue to stay on the front of trying to reach people. And Peter Breen joins me now to help us figure out what to do next. But first of all, what happened today? Peter, you said before we reset the audio that the new, as I don't know if we call him new anymore, governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, promised in his campaigning last fall that he would make Illinois, as he called it, the most progressive abortion state in the country, abortion laws in the country. Peter, you were just saying he wants to make this an abortion mecca. I understand seen some pictures of them, billboards at the state line, right? Saying, welcome to Illinois, where you can have a safe and legal abortion. Not true. Maybe legal, but not safe.
Right. In fact, and that was one of the local abortion clinics down in the St. Louis area, so east of St. Louis. This Reproductive Health Act that was passed today out of the House would actually repeal all of our public health and safety licensing requirements for abortion clinics. And folks may remember there were a spate of filthy abortion clinics shut down in around 2011 to 2013 across the state of Illinois. And the only reason the state was able to inspect those clinics was because of the licensing requirements. And frankly, it had been a decade since they'd done any inspections, and they did it in the wake of the Gosnell tragedy in mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. So again, they would wipe those off the books. So in terms of safe, legal, and rare, the only thing that they're looking for is barely legal at this point in Illinois.
And yet, you know, what happened today. So, Peter, in your words, because those who have been tuned in, and I want to, kudos to all of you who have been able to do just that. Those who have been tuned in to Relevant Radio throughout the programming day today, from the very start of the day through now, at any point you've jumped in, on or off and in and out, you have heard about what happened in Illinois today. Certainly, it's pretty infamous right now what happened in New York, and especially with Governor Cuomo so famously celebrating with a raucous crowd, their abortion bill, also called Reproductive Health Act. No reproduction, no health going on there. But they celebrated that famously. And Peter, when they did, everybody knows about that now. When they did, the state lawmakers in our state of Illinois, sadly, were already advancing their intentions to outdo what New York did. Does this bill outdo New York?
It does. This is the broadest expansion of abortion we know of in any state in the union. You know, it's a 126-page bill dropped on Sunday night of Memorial Day weekend, rammed through committee an hour later. You know, they actually wanted to vote on it yesterday. So while we were honoring our hallowed dead, they wanted to actually try to push through this this terrible, dehumanizing bill that takes children who are viable. That any of us know, you know, we have our children, our friends, our family members have children who were born at 23, 24, 25, 26 weeks. They want to take those babies and essentially dehumanize them. And that's what this Reproductive Health Act seeks to do, to make their abortion just a commonplace thing, as if it was no big deal.
Well, and it's no big deal to those who pushed it through. We just heard some audio coming into the show hour today that it's downstate. It's also the newly installed mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, who said that reproductive rights, as of course those are the words of the abortion movement, reproductive rights are under increasing challenges. Well, you bet. The pro-life movement is certainly out to protect lives, but she said they have to do everything they can to protect those and to further advance their laws to protect abortion. Peter, to that end, you and I both know that across the states, there are many states that have protections in the works right now. This one in Illinois seemed to me, and a lot of people, maybe inevitable, but not really inevitable until it was finally done. Unfortunately, but do you think it could have been stopped?
At this point, no. The holdup they were having was the pro-life movement, and that was both churches and other groups, did an incredible job. The other side did not know what hit them when tens of thousands of communications went to each representative. 4,000 people packed the Capitol, literally shutting it down. And so we did, the people of faith of this state rose up in a way that you've not seen in a long time. And so that really did cause this this bill to stall. And even this past weekend, we didn't know what this amendment would say. They added language about post-viability abortions because the original bill just wiped all the restrictions away. And so they added this language about post-viability abortions. And they did it as a fig leaf. So as a lawyer, I can read this language and say, you've not prohibited a single post-viability abortion. And when they had the committee hearing, that brief committee hearing on Sunday night, the ACLU representative couldn't point out a single abortion that would be prevented under this language. But they used that. There were a couple of legislators on the fence, and they got just enough people to come on board with this fig leaf language. Now, I think those legislators are going to find when they get home after this session ends on May 31st that the people of their districts were not fooled by the fig leaf, and they're pretty worked up. We'll see how that goes, and there's going to be a lot of work to do going forward in the land of Lincoln. But, yeah, the efforts of pro-life people across this state and across the region mm-hmm. really did have a huge impact on this legislative process.
All the way to today, because I, or yesterday, because I understand, we both have told listeners that they worked on this in Springfield, Illinois. They thought under the dark of nobody paying attention over Memorial Day weekend. By the way, with our weather, it has been dark, hasn't it? But they thought that if they worked through this past Sunday before Memorial Day and Memorial Day itself, who'd be paying attention? Well, we pro-lifers certainly were. And a lot of Christians, Catholics, a lot of our bishops, a lot of people have been. As you say, 4,000 people went downstairs. And they paid attention then. I know, Peter, as you do, that a number of our friends who are so active in the pro-life movement here in Illinois were there yesterday. They spent their Memorial Day talking with legislators because there weren't very many other people there, so they really got their attention. And as of yesterday, I was reading some of their notes they sent out by email to those of us on their list saying that actually, a couple of Democrats had fallen away and they were no longer willing to sign this bill. So the reason it took another day for the senior leadership in the state capitol was because they needed a couple more Democrats committed to sign this bill. What was going on? What convinces Democrats, no matter how left-leaning they are, to sign something so radical, Peter?
Well, the sponsor of the bill will lie. So I'm listening to the floor debate, and of course I've got an expertise in this area. Mm-hmm. She made certain representations in response to the questions that were just flat out lies. So those representatives who decided to accept those explanations I don't want to ascribe bad motives because I know these folks, but they were willfully blind, certainly, to the truth of what was going on. With this bill, they know full well that this is going to open the door to late-term abortions. I mean, just up to the moment of birth in Illinois, they just wanted to find a reason so that they could support it. Because Speaker Madigan, you know, who is the most powerful, potentially the most powerful politician in the country, along with our multi-billionaire governor, who's entirely committed to abortion, all of these people were very heavily weighing on these legislators, and they cracked. And they know they've done wrong. Unfortunately, the legacy of any legislator that voted for this is thousands of new babies who will be aborted in the state of Illinois, including those who are, again, fully viable and able to live outside the womb.
See, that's an important part of this, fully viable and able to live outside the womb, because that's taking it to another level. When it's not, my body, my choice, this is a baby that can live and is out now outside the womb, like Senator Ben Sasse said in the Senate, U.S. Senate on Capitol Hill, when he was really trying to get a debate and then a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. He was saying, he was imploring his fellow senators to please consider this. This is not about abortion, he said. This is about a baby who survived an abortion and is now outside the mother's womb. Well, what this is doing, Peter Breen, is allowing in the state of Illinois babies outside the mother's womb and fully viable and still living to be killed?
Well, and it's in the womb. In theory, our born alive law is still in effect, but boy, under current law, post-viability abortion requires a second physician to be there so that if the child is born alive, there will be medical care administered to the child. There are certain there are protections in the current law. Those are all being wiped away. And I can tell you from my experience litigating against Planned Parenthood and other abortion entities, these abortion facilities – it may be a physician doing the abortion, but that is not a physician that has any experience in caring for a child. And I will tell you that if a child is born alive after an abortion, either the child is terminated and we never find out why, or they'll call an ambulance, and by the time the ambulance arrives, that child is not receiving medical care between the time of the botched abortion or the unsuccessful abortion. And the arrival of the EMTs. I mean, it's really. I mean, this is gruesome stuff. I hate to put it to folks, but it's the sort of thing. I was even just making the point. My goodness, this is a child who can live outside the womb. You're going to dismember them, and you're not even administering anesthesia or anything like that. I mean, this is barbarism. I mean, it's The ancient Romans couldn't have thought of something so gruesome as this, as a torture.
No, exactly. This is barbarism. It repeals the Illinois Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, repeals it 100%. It allows abortion up to the moment of birth for any reason and no reason. We just said baby's fully viable. It's unbelievable what this does. Peter, you can explain these restrictions better. What is the language allowing self-abortions? I realize people who don't have to be doctors to perform abortions now, thanks to this new, I hate to call it a law, but it is in Illinois. But self-abortions?
Well, this is a new trend, and this is something that apparently there are movements afoot to try to figure out ways to get certain drugs to women so that they can take them on their own without the assistance. Without medical care, without any sort of examination to ensure the pregnancy, to check and see, you know, you might have an ectopic pregnancy or some other complication, what have you, where you literally they figure out a way to get you the pills over the internet. You then do the abortion yourself at home without supervision. And so that is a new thing that the other side is pushing. You know, they're so dedicated to this procedure that they'd even go that far to have you do it yourself. There's another point here too. In the law itself, it would allow nurses and physicians' assistants to do medication abortions. So they would be you would entrust a nurse or a physician's assistant to do the pelvic exam, do an ultrasound, all of that. At least that's what they should be doing. And I'll tell you, you know, it was interesting to me. I saw the other side in this bill repealed the criminal penalty and the civil penalty for doing an abortion on a woman not pregnant. And I wonder if you're doing a medication abortion, how does anyone even know? You know, at the end of the day, you know, not to be again overly graphic, but the drug itself induces kind of a it's a mid-cycle period, you know, where you expel the contents of the uterus. You wouldn't even necessarily know. And I mean, just again, this is it's gruesome stuff. But boy, how people can think this was okay, and particularly a majority of Illinois House members who have families, who represent communities, and who otherwise are relatively pleasant people, it's just the blindness is staggering.
It's staggering, and it seems like the wording and the exactitude of everything they put in here and all of it come pulled together when looking over it all takes your breath away. And it also seems diabolical. It really does, because, Peter, this is nothing but pure evil when you read some of this. Tell me this, from a legal standpoint, it repeals the Abortion Performance Refusal Act. It repeals so much. It adds so much. It does so much. But on that Abortion Performance Refusal Act. So that removes protection for nurses, doctors, hospital staff against professional repercussions they have for, you know, so they were allowed to refuse to participate in abortions. Even faith-based hospitals now aren't protected. That removes all of that protection against, you know, violating your conscience. But how does this work, Peter, given that this administration not very long ago under HHS extended at the federal level protections for conscience rights?
And we're going to have a little bit of a conflict between the state and the federal. In fact, we've already got this issue had come up in Illinois a few years ago, along with some other states, and we had filed complaints with the United States Department of Health and Human Services to stop Illinois from imposing they were restricting conscience rights. It's just incredible. The other side says, well, we're preserving your conscience rights by including a reference in another bill. They call it the Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. But that act had been gutted several years ago. So it really, you know, something called the Abortion Performance Refusal Act does exactly what it says. And if it's okay to refuse to participate in an abortion, then you should just let the act be and not repeal it entirely and trust that, oh, some other act where the protections are very weak and we've got them in litigation, should somehow be enough for you people of faith. I got to tell you, Sheila, it's a dark day. It's a difficult day, but we have got a lot of work to do. Let's put it that way. And I'm glad to talk more about that, too.
Well, so let's do that very soon, Peter, because once people catch their breath, what they're going to want to know in their own states as well, fighting similar kind of legislation, is, all right, what do we do? And we do have a lot more to talk about because this is just so breathtaking. But then we also have to move on and do things now that this is enacted. That's what people are going to want to hear very much. So, Counselor Peter Breen, thank you so much for being here on this dark day, as you say it is. But we are determined to do more. So you'll be back soon. Thanks, Peter. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.